Welcome back to the guidebook, everybody. I'm your host, Rachel, and this week we're interviewing another Rachel again. This week we're interviewing Rachel Delaplane. She's a voiceover artist, also a freelancer, just a different kind of freelancer. And, you know, I don't even think I can count anymore how many Rachels I know. We're all named Rachel around here, right? Like, it's crazy how many Rachels there are in the world and how many of them I've become friends with. Rachel is one of the funniest people I know. She has an awesome TikTok, and you can see the entire process of her building out her 2003 Ford E350 shuttle bus, which she calls the Rosebud Motel. Anybody else a Schitt's Creek fan? She is so freaking funny on her TikTok, and if you're not already following it, you should go follow it right now, because you're making a mistake missing out on that. She's been traveling the country recording voiceovers in her home studio that she built herself inside of her shuttle bus, and she works for some crazy cool brands like Nintendo, Dell, Gore-Tex, Nespresso, Dove, Delta Airlines, and her latest audio. She actually did just get a full-time job, but the freelance mindset still applies. She's been freelancing ever since the pandemic started. Right out of college, she made her professional career in theater, both on stage and as an administrator. And you can tell she's a theater girly, you guys, and I love it. But now she is into voiceovers. We talked about creating community on the road, finding your way, the stresses of living on the road full time, and so much more. It's very much a casual, silly little conversation between two freelance gals just trying to make their way in the world. And I loved every minute of it. Let's go. Let's hear from Rachel.
This is The Guidebook. We're sharing tips for freelancers, raw conversations with risk takers, how to become a digital nomad, and the emotions behind it all. I'm your host, Rachel. On the show, I share everything I've learned in the past 5 years of freelancing and living nomadically, showing you how you can work to live instead of living to work. I'm interviewing some of my favorite digital nomads and entrepreneurs to help you unlock your bravest self. If you want to become a freelancer or a digital nomad, this is the podcast for you.
Speaking out loud to other human beings in I don't know how long. Do I need to practice talking like a human? And so I was fully in here, like almost doing like an Oscar Awards acceptance speech of, well, yeah, this is what I do and this is why and this is how I do it. Oh, did that sound okay? Just so self-conscious about it. So thank you for editing all my nonsense out. I appreciate you so much. Or put it all in. Leave it in. We can have a comedy podcast.
I like the tangents. I like your sense of humor is part of why I started following you in the first place. So I think it's kind of like fitting that you can like, yeah, like let it out. Be yourself. Let's fucking go. That's what we're here for.
Gee shucks. Yay, good. I'll go for it. Love it.
Okay. Before we get too far, do you want to introduce yourself?
Oh my gosh. I would love to.
My cat is playing with the blanket on my floor.
Oh my gosh, good. My cat is pacing around outside of the booth, just like, what are you doing, mom? Mom, where'd you go, mom? So we'll just have all the interference today. It'll be so good. But yeah, hi, I am Rachel. Yeah. Hi, I'm Rachel Delaplane. I am a professional voice actor or voiceover artist traveling the road in my 2003 Ford E350 shuttle bus that I converted myself and put a voiceover booth in it so I could see the world and do voiceover wherever.
Perfect.
Yay,
you're on my show.
Oh my gosh, so wild. I haven't been on an interview style podcast since like my friend did one called Neat People, which sounded when he was doing the podcast that it was called Meat People, like M-E-A-T. Ooh, what could Meat People be about it? But it was really just interviews with people he thought were neat. It was great.
That's cute. I really like that. Honestly, that's really all I'm doing. Yeah. Like, there are themes, but yeah, it's just a bunch of people I think are neat.
Love it. That's so good. Yeah, he mostly used it as an excuse to, like, start conversations with people in the community he'd always wanted to get to know. He's like, come on the podcast. And now they're drinking buddies. So it works out pretty well.
That's like my dream. Yeah. Cool. Well, to start us off, I really want to talk about like, I started following you when you first started converting your bus, and your life looked a lot different than it does now. So I would love to hear more, just to give our listeners background. Like, what did your life look like before you hit the road? What was like the process of building like? You had a full-time job, right? Or a contract job before? Like, you were living in an apartment. Like, what was it like?
Yeah, I was kind of all over the place. And first of all, van life or bus life or anything is not something I quite ever pictured myself doing. Or without the prevalence of TikTok or YouTube, I never would have thought it was a viable or valid life choice for myself or a safe possible thing. I even remember it took car camping with my boyfriend at the time when I was living in Colorado, which I had moved out to as also kind of a huge life pivot. I lost my job in Richmond, which was like my first job out of college, and had to do a huge pivot and thought, well, I'm not attached to anybody. I'm young. I need to see the world. So this job opportunity came up and I moved to Colorado thinking, oh, I'd get to see Colorado. And my job was so intense that I never saw Colorado until the pandemic hit. And all of a sudden I was hiking everywhere and going on these crazy adventures. And it wasn't until that pandemic, you know which one I'm talking about.
The pandemic.
Capital TP. But it wasn't until that happened and I had to do that huge pivot and had the opportunity to do some car camping, which I was terrified the first night I did it, and then woke up the next morning going, oh, this is possible. And so while people were baking bread and doing all of their pandemic activities, I was just consuming as much van life, bus life content as possible. Moved home to live with my parents, and at that point hadn't even bought a vehicle yet. And then found one on Facebook Marketplace. And at that time, I was working part-time at REI and in the evenings trying to build my voiceover business out of the closet in the vestry of my mom's church. So I'm just like surrounded by religious vestments trying to do like dirty audiobooks. It was so strange. But so I then found the bus, started converting it, and somewhere in there I was working for I got a job offer for Bucks County Playhouse, which is huge in the theater industry. And I've always worked in theater. So being able to pivot back to theater felt like theater was coming back and that, okay, maybe I wasn't going to do the life on the road thing. And then out of nowhere, a friend who calls me up and kind of offers me a job every couple of years called me up and offered me a job to move back to Richmond, which was where all my friends were. And the biggest selling point was that he had this massive shop. So I moved back to Richmond, started working full time for him. It involved a lot of travel and a lot of really crazy hours, but I had an apartment in Richmond, but then also this huge workshop to be able to convert this whole thing. Yeah. It was kind of a very amazing, rambling, all over the place story, but yeah.
The universe end up in strange wanted places. You to do that.
Yes. Very much.
That offer is like so specifically on point. It would not have happened if it wasn't like your calling. That's insane.
Exactly. Truly, if I had tried to stay in Pennsylvania, working out of my parents' garage, doing full-time work in a theater, which already has weird hours, trying to build a bus and a entrepreneurial career, I think I'd still be building it.
Yeah. It's hard. Yeah, for sure. I lived with my parents while I built my van and my dad helped me. And quite frankly, there were days when like I didn't have it in me to do it after working all day, and I would come home and my dad would like already be in the van building something. And I'm like, all right, Dad, we're doing it today. Thank you for being the driving force behind this getting done. Because he was like, I want you out of my yard. Let's go.
Thanks, Dad. Yeah, that's the thing nobody really thinks about or tells you about doing this kind of project is the really unseen hours that go into it. And that's everything from untangling extension cords so that you can actually use the tool that you need to use for the thing. And like each time that kind of inconvenience would happen because I hadn't seen it in all the YouTubes or the TikToks that I watch, I'm like, nobody else had to untangle their extension cords. I'm doing it wrong. I'm wasting so much time. But that's just the reality of what these types of projects are like. People are editing out the boring stuff. But if you're going to build the bus, you have to do the boring stuff.
Yeah, like sanding. It's just like hours and hours of monotonous arm vibrating.
Oh, I can't believe you said the S word. Sanding.
It's the worst. Or like the electronics. I am so glad I did just like a Jackery and some solar panels. Because if I had to actually like watching you wire your electrical panel, I was like, I would murder somebody and it would be me. Like, I can't imagine. I understand that you learned a lot and it's a valuable skill to have. But quite frankly, I do not have the patience for it.
To anybody listening who's considering building their own vehicle for any of this, that's the number one thing I say that people should get the professional help with. I was really fortunate that the person I bought the bus from, his like best friend had just started his own business, Appalachian Vans, of converting vans. And like,
oh, I love that dude. Yeah, his Instagram is so good.
He's so good. He's got a brand new project right now, so his content is just like ratcheting up. It's so great. But I truly some point called him and was like, will you help me with any of this? And he was so great about teaching me, but I couldn't have done half of what I did without him. And honestly, that's where one of the TikToks came from, because he was teaching me about some of these terms and I kept making jokes to him and he kept looking at me like, I'm trying to teach you. I'm like, but I'm funny. And so I had to put all those jokes someplace. Exactly. And it turned into a TikTok. And I think that's
why I followed you.
What was the first one you ever saw?
It was one with the guy from Appalachian Vans, because I follow him on Instagram and he like tagged you or something. And I had like, I've been on TikTok for a while, but sort of like just lurking. And I only go on it like once a week because it's too overwhelming for me. So I think I just like went on it one time and yours came up as suggested. And I was like, this is the funniest person I've ever seen. Then I just immediately followed you. And then every video that came up, I was like, yes, another dirty joke. Yes, we share the same name. This is hilarious.
Yeah, Rachel's are good people. We're just good people.
We're out here killing it. I told my friend today that I was like doing a podcast interview and they were like, oh, who are you interviewing? And I was like, oh, another girl named Rachel. And they were like, wait, aren't you interviewing someone on Thursday who's also named Rachel? And I was like, yeah, it's another one. They're like, do you just like collect Rachels? Like, they're absolutely just everywhere. We're all here. We're all connecting.
Yes. There truly should be a term what a group of Rachels is called. I'm pretty sure it's like a rascal of Rachels.
That is perfect. I have always wanted a term for that.
Perfect.
Yep. We should make t-shirts.
Yeah. Because I remember when I lived in Richmond, there were just tons of other Rachels too. And I like to think we were all pretty talented. So any callback I ever went to for a show, there would be at least three other Rachels there. So then the person running the audition would be like, okay, so next we're going to have Rachel reading with Ryan. And it'd be like, which Rachel? And they'd be like, oh man, you're right. Hold on. Rachel M and then Rachel D. And just eventually a Rachel would get cast. It was fine.
That's so funny. I would always like worry that you show up to the audition and it's like they meant to call back a different Rachel or something.
I do actually know one story of it wasn't a Rachel, but the theater cast the wrong guy. They mistook whose headshot was with whose name, and they sent out the contract. He sent it back and he showed up for the first day of rehearsals and they were like, ooh, you're not who we thought. Oh, no. And I don't know how it worked out, but I have actually heard that horror story and I live in fear of that happening.
It's awful. Yep. Oh, my gosh. Yep. Wow.
Well, how did you get into voice acting to begin with? Like, so you went to school for theater.
I did go to, I majored in drama and behavioral neuroscience. And I've been very fortunate since graduating to always be in a salaried full-time theater position, which I definitely thought
that's insane.
It's insane. I had the very naive, idealistic view that I was going to, from my internship with Virginia Repertory Theater, I was going to put my foot in the door and they'd have to hire me. And that would just be my rise to the top, very how to succeed in business without really trying.
Classic theater arrogance.
Exactly. Exactly. Mailroom to CEO, intern to artistic director. That's how it was going to be. And yeah. I ended up being there for 4 years with them. And from there, have been able to just keep working in theater on stage and off until, of course, the pandemic, when theater truly could not happen. And so that, like I was talking about before, the transition of, oh, my career is not really serving me the way I thought it would. I'm so burnt out. And the pandemic makes it seem like maybe this can never happen again. So that pivot was already naturally there at a time that I was also consuming as much van life content as possible and realizing, oh, I need some kind of remote option. And I started really thinking that I'd have to start at zero. I was fully like looking at online courses for graphic design or something like copywriting, anything. And was fully ready to just abandon every skill set I'd naturally had or had been building at that point. And then realized, hold on.
I did
on.
The same thing, dude.
Oh, my gosh. What would you have become? Oh.
I just, like, binge-watched YouTube, and I was like, I need a full-time remote job. Because I didn't think of, like, I was like, ah, oh, freelance, okay. And then I did like a casual coding boot camp to see if I liked coding. And then I was I don't want this to be my full-time job, but this is so interesting. And that's why the entire first 4 years of my freelance writing business, I just wrote about coding boot camps because I had researched them so heavily thinking I would do one and change my career that I was like, you know what, man? Might as well tell other people they should do this because I almost did it. It's perfect start for marketing for me. And that's how I ended up doing it. But I was like obsessed with like Eamon and Beck and like the Matneys and like Kara and Nate. And I was like, I'm going to find a boyfriend who wants to travel with me. And then when that didn't happen, I was like, fuck it. We're doing it live. I'm doing it alone. I just straight like full sent it with the freelance writing. But like that is it. Like you – if you want it bad enough, you will be scrappy and you will fucking figure it out, man.
Right? I was so willing to just kind of do anything. And because I had always been doing theater and thought, okay, well, this huge boulder is in my road. We can go any direction. I don't care if that road is straight uphill. I'm going to get to the top of it. And then with the space and the room to relax and actually do some soul searching, I thought, oh, that actually sounds exhausting. And realized, hold on, I've been doing voiceover or voice work always. Pretty much any any role that I got cast for, I was either doing kind of a funky voice for it or I was playing multiple characters in the context of the play. Like we did the Laramie Project, and I performed as multiple characters of the town of Wyoming, or of the town Laramie, Wyoming.
Yes,
and then
yes.
I was in a play called Red Velvet where I played three different characters and had three different wigs and three different dialects. And just looking back on those, realized that those were my favorite roles that I ever did. And the thing, like, those were the happiest times in my life too, because it was just so fulfilling. And I'd even done like a, it was for a Pearl Harbor remembrance where they had taken first person accounts of Pearl Harbor, and my friend turned it into a script. And basically there were like 4 to 5 of us lined up in front of a big projector on the anniversary of the attack. And we each read different accounts of the day. We were completely in the darkness, but the projector showed images from the day. So that was like a really cool.
That's crazy.
Like that kind of in-between space of a stage performance and doing something in the booth like this. And so I reached out to that friend who I knew made her career in voice acting and was like, Melissa, how do I do this? And she answered my call like, I've been waiting for you to ask me this question. Here's what you're going to do. And truly, it was...
That's amazing.
I don't want to like oversimplify it by saying like, I bought a microphone and now I do voiceover, because that, for obvious reasons, but that's kind of what that next step was. Just throwing myself completely into the deep end and just learning how to do it into a microphone rather than screaming it out on stage.
Yeah. It's sort of the same. I feel like that's true of any sort of freelance or like entrepreneurial endeavor. Like you just have to do it. Of course, it's more complicated than that. But like at the end of the day, I got my first gig by just pitching and I did not know what I was doing and I figured it out on the job. And like that is just how it works. And some jobs are just going to take you longer. And if you are willing to do that, for your entire career, at least once a year, do a job that you are not familiar with that is hard for you. You're going to grow so much. Like I know how to do almost everything in digital marketing now, except for paid ads, which like is insane. If you told me I knew how to do email marketing and like code emails and like all this crazy nonsense that I'm doing now, I would not have believed you in the beginning. It's so insane. I was just trying to learn how to write a blog post when I started. And like, say, it's like, you're just trying to figure out how to use a new microphone and some recording software and hope it gets there, right? Like it's just, you just have to fake it till you make it and just try and you will figure it out.
Yeah. Like when I think back.
But it's also like.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
When I think back to the first time somebody actually hired me off of a platform where I had done kind of the bare minimum of here's my profile picture, here's not even an actual mastered demo, this is just something I recorded with like a duvet over my head, here we go, and somebody hired me, I wanted to call them and just be like, are you sure I'm not legit? You don't want this. I know I signed up for a website promising that you do want this, but you don't want this. But learning opportunities, that's how you do it.
Yes, exactly. And it, like if you're getting paid to learn, that's the best possible outcome. Worst comes to worst, you redo it for them, you know?
Yeah.
And I think there's also this like misconception, especially as freelancers where we're like solopreneurs or whatever, that you are like self-made and you did this on your own. You work so hard. But in reality, like so many people had a hand in it. Like the first person who decided to hire you, your friend Melissa telling you how to get into it, that one blog that you read that just like made you feel better one day, the YouTube video you watched to like set up your software, the like the seventh person who hired you who referred you to somebody else and now you have referrals coming in. Like all of these little building blocks move you towards that like sustainable long-term career. Like there's no finish line. The finish line is like death. It's just like what gets you there is what you're really going for. So, but that community aspect I feel like is so underrated. And I feel like it's really hard when you're a solopreneur, especially if you're living on the road, to like find that community. Have you found ways to build that? Are you like relying on social media?
Yeah, I think this is a perfect example of just reaching out to the people that inspire you and like just admitting that we all follow each other and that we have found something valuable in the ways we just spit our souls out to the internet as constant content and then making it real by reaching out and being like, so you're a Rachel, I'm a Rachel, I would like to get to know you. And it just changes your life. The cool thing is the two communities that I think are the most open about sharing their knowledge of how they learned everything the hard way, so you shouldn't have to learn it the hard way, is people who build vans and people who do voiceover. Because voice actors love to talk, so they all have podcasts. That's more of their content marketing. But so there's tons of info out there. And the same with just people who want to be full-time van lifers. It's because they're also motivated to make a ton of content, but they also genuinely mm-hmm. want to share their knowledge, which is just so cool. So being bombarded with the number of generous, genuine people through TikTok or Instagram has really just been incredible. There was even a follower. He started out as a follower and then we became friends and he was coming through town because he's a van lifer. And my friend John, he's a photojournalist out in the world and he's just so incredible. And he even came back through town when I was leaving Richmond for my going away party. So there are just kind of remarkable people out there. It's really great. And the cool thing about that too is wanting to consume so many of people's stories helps dispel the idea in my brain that there's only one right way to do something.
Like, oh, yes.
It's perfect that you have this podcast and have so many people on here just being like, well, I started this way and then this happened and I didn't expect this to happen, but this happened. It's just constant examples of it's going to work out if it's meant to be and you got to put the work in. We don't know totally what's going to happen, but there's no wrong way. There are wrong ways to do things, but there's no right way.
There aren't as many wrong ways as you think there are. And there's no singular right way either. Yeah.
And if you did something wrong, you figure it out.
Right. Exactly. It's always problem solving. That's like all of van life and being an entrepreneur is just constant problem solving.
And you're right, there's no finish line. Like the actual finish line is death. I was listening back to other episodes of the guidebook and I forget who said it and it ruined my life because they just said, you never arrive. And I thought, no, my entire life is destinations and wanting to check boxes that stay checked. I want to arrive places. No, you get to that place and you figure out what your next destination is. You never arrive. Yeah. And I'm so mad about it because it's true.
It like removes some satisfaction, but it also removes a lot of pressure and like, I don't know, disillusionment, I guess you could say, of like these ideas that we have about what it's supposed to be like life and van life and all of these things. Yeah.
Actually, I love statements that like the duality of them is so devastating or freeing. Like, I'm going to struggle to think of all these quotes, but like a good friend of mine told me that I'm not that important, which was one of the most liberating things and devastating. Like, on the one hand, nobody cares what you do. Oh, yeah, that's devastating. But on the other hand, nobody cares. So do what you want. The duality of those types of statements that free you and humble you is really valuable.
Like the direct hit to the ego that also releases the lock.
Yes, love it. Thank you for taking me down that peg. It is much more comfortable and inspiring down here. Thank you.
Have you, like, yes, you have a great social network and you clearly, obviously, like, oh, I guess we haven't talked about it, but we became friends through social media. We DM'd on Instagram and it was great. And we've had, I'm sorry if you can hear my cat meowing.
I love her.
She is very confused by how dark it is out. She's just like, it's time for food. But have you found yourself like feeling lonely on the road?
Yes, I think, and that's another good example of the duality of when there's nobody there to tell you what to do or ask you how your day was or is that freedom or is that loneliness? And I think it can be both and because I'm very much a words of affirmation person and a validation person, which is also where social media feeds into it. Like I'm posting pretty much every day. I am engaging with people pretty much every day. But at the end of the day, my job is getting into this booth and talking to strangers or sending out audio clips that somebody may never actually even listen to. So there are days where I definitely get lonely, but then the next day it's like, well, where do I want to go? And what do I want to do about that? And the fact that the only person I have to check in with about that is me. And if I want social interaction, I go find a bar and I write postcards to friends, or I make a TikTok about it and then people reach out. I'm pretty good about trying to do like all the skills that we learned during the pandemic of having wine nights over Zoom and staying connected with people that way. I'm very, very, very fortunate to have friendships that I built when I lived in Richmond and other places, that they are very patient with my lack of internet service sometimes and just are always there for me. So it does get lonely, but it doesn't feel like a foregone conclusion or like a problem that I can't solve when I need to.
I like that. I like that perspective. I feel like the only other thing that I wanted to talk to you about that a lot of people, my frustration with fan life content is that, like, yes, we share so much knowledge with each other and some of it's so beautiful and it's inspiring and like there's obviously a reason I did it, but no one ever talks about when you're alone the amount of decision fatigue that we experience on the road. Like, it's very rare that anyone talks about it. No one wants to complain about it, but it's like I can't make another decision in a day sometimes on the road. It's just too much.
Yes, I completely agree. I was trying to I didn't know the term decision fatigue or didn't know that other people experienced that. I thought I was just doing it all wrong. And so I was trying to come up with language for it. So like if I can name it, I can deal with it. And I came up with freedom drunk and just being so disoriented with the whole world is in front of you. And again, going back to being salaried my entire life, like 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, I showed up and somebody told me what to do and how I would know if I had done it or not. And all of a sudden you've got the open road and absolutely any option. And it's so overwhelming. So like I'm so glad that like, you've experienced that too.
I used to get somewhere and I would think like, okay, this is the only time I'm ever going to be here. I have to do everything that's like so perfect here. Like, what's the best thing I can do today? What are all the things that I need to do? And like, where should I go? And also I'm freelance writing. And I, in my 6 years of freelance writing, have had 3 clients give me praise. 3. I have had more than 20 clients. And it's not that I didn't do a good job. It's just that it's not how it works. They edit your work and ask you to make revisions, which is all like negative if you want to look at it that way. And then you make the revisions and then it's over and you move on to the next client or the next project. And like, it's so rare that you get praise and you'll ask for like recommendations or reviews or whatever. And half the people don't do them. And so I'm like, I never know if I'm quite doing my job right, except for the fact that I'm following like basic standards. I feel like I'm not traveling right. I don't know where to sleep tonight. There's too many options and you can't see pictures of any of them and you don't know what you really want. And like, I don't want to spend more money. And you get to the grocery store and they're all set up differently. You have to make decisions and like, where should I eat and what's the best hike? And it just turns into this like spinning tornado of chaos. And I never felt like I could like stay in one place long enough unless I had someone else there with me. It's like, I never felt great about staying one place too long because, like, I had to leave to get Wi-Fi. Starlink would have been a godsend. And then I would, like, have to find a new campsite. It just, like, turned into this mess where I was just, like, exhausted all the time and I burnt myself out on just trying to make, like, the best decision. Mm-hmm. And in reality, looking back, I'm like, I spent 21 days in Moab, which is like American climbing Mecca. And I climbed every day I was there. I didn't see a single national park. I went to one arch. I didn't go through a slot canyon. I ate some pretty good food. I camped at the same 2 campsites the entire time I was there. And I worked at the library where there's a cute cat. And quite frankly, it was an amazing time. And I wish that I had just like sat and enjoyed that and like taken a couple days off and just rested on some national forest land, because everything was fine and amazing. And I 100% guarantee you I will be going back to Moab, Utah someday. So why did I act like it was the only time I was ever going to be there and everything is horrible? Like, come on, man.
I completely understand all of that. And the fact that like van life on its own is complete decision fatigue. anything with starting your own business where you are all positions to the entire company at all times and you're making it up as you go, you've got in your just like regular existence the decision fatigue of where am I going to sleep tonight? Which is the best hike? How, where will I get the best picture? And then what am I doing to pursue this career today? Should I reach out to this client? Or is it more important today to work on my Instagram content? Or does that mean I should go on this hike so that I have these pictures so that I can share and then create this content? Will that set me up for something next week? And just feeling like all of it is wrong. And if you pick one, it means you're not doing the other. And I think one of the scariest one of the scariest things that happened in transitioning from being a salaried person to launching myself full face into this voiceover career is being really shocked by learning what my time is worth. So feeling like if I'm not working, I'm not making money. And being really, really surprised by what that meant and like what that even did to the way I breathed. And it made the stakes for all those decisions even higher. And just, it was really, really overwhelming. Because with...
For sure.
The one thing that I feel like can help with some of the decision fatigue is deciding that one thing is true and pivot around that. So if you're overwhelmed by how many campsites there are available and you're looking at freecampsites.net or iOverlander or whatever app, there are already so many apps. That's a decision right there. Which app do you use to make your decision? And so if you're trying to figure out what campsite should you go to, the truth of knowing that you need pretty good cell service helps knock out some categories helps narrow down what your decision can be. But when you're in charge of all facets of your life, it's hard to decide what that truth is. I've been fortunate to have like a couple clients outside of voiceover that help dictate sometimes what my day needs to be so I can make decisions around that. But when it's just me, the open road in my own business, I don't know which direction to run in. And sometimes you just got to pick something and go, and it's fine.
It's always going to be good enough. Always. That's like me, the open road, and my anxiety is really who's out there. Like that's who's in the car.
That's the title of your memoir right there.
Dude, I gotta write that down. That's a good one.
Yeah. This will sound kind of... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
Oh, I was just gonna say that... I was gonna say that this will probably sound a little woo-woo, but almost every time I've had one of those days where I waste almost my entire tank of gas driving from one campsite to another one because maybe that one's better or has a different view of the lake I've already seen. I wrote an entire blog about my like first day where I truly was making all of my own decisions, and it was very overwhelming. But almost every time I've had one of those days, the next day I wake up and as almost a self-soothing thing, I tell myself I can do something I want to do in the morning, whether that's go find a coffee shop. You don't have to work today. You don't have to even post anything anywhere. Just go find a coffee shop and get a nice latte. Or you know what? This morning, I want to go paddleboarding. That's what I'm going to go do. Today sounds like a good day for a hike. I don't care which one. I'm just going to go do it. And inevitably, this is so scary, but inevitably, during those moments that I've just chosen to go do something that sounds nice, something from the universe falls into place. So like I was in New York, I was in the Adirondacks and just woke up and was like, I don't know what to do. So I'm going to go paddleboard about it. And I was in the middle of Racket Lake and I had my phone out to just take a picture of something. And I had a notification that I had a voiceover gig. I was like, and that notification probably could have come through no matter what I was doing. Like, that's probably what was going to happen.
Sure.
But there's something that keeps getting reinforced this whole journey that I've been on, that if you pursue something that serves you in some way, the rest of the world will help serve you as well. It's not quite manifesting, and it's not a carte blanche permission to just like, well, pasta sounds great. Ice cream sounds great. I'm just going to go hop on a jet and go across the country because that sounds great. It's the little things.
I'm never going to work again.
No, exactly. It's nice to just have serving myself be validated by other circumstances falling into place.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally hear that. I think as long as you're in the background building the momentum that you need for your business, if you take the time to take care of yourself, your business will be better because you're going to avoid burnout. Mm-hmm. And that's when you actually get into trouble. Like, burnout leads to late assignments. It leads to a bad reputation because of the late assignments. It leads to losing clients. It leads to not getting enough clients because you can't get the work done and you can't take on more work because your work isn't done, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas if you just stop and you like take a deep breath, you take care of yourself and you do what you need to do. Like, there are days where I'm like, well, if I'm going to take the day off today, like, what am I going to do that's better or more important than working? And my brain almost always is like, absolutely nothing. And I'm like, well, that's not good enough. But in reality, like, that's exactly what you need to be doing is nothing. And so that's sort of, I try to keep that in mind because it's so easy when you are your own boss to just be like, well, I need to work harder. I need to work harder. I need to work harder. And that is actually not the solution. And every time I've taken a break, again, as long as you're doing the things in the background that build your business, like for me, that's networking and sending pitches. I was doing it. I've been doing it. I've been doing it religiously for 6 years. I'm doing fine. I like took a morning. I remember one time I took a morning off and I went to a cafe with my best friend in Durham. She's also a freelancer. She was like, why don't you just meet me at this cafe after my hot yoga class and we'll like do some work together. But, you know, it's fine if we don't get anything done. Like, let's just go and hang out. And we'd only met like one other time in person. So this is like our second in-person hangout. And I was like, you know what, man? I'm getting a mimosa. I'm fucking done with today. And she was like, oh my God, me too. And we just sat there drinking mimosas, just like talking shit about freelancing because sometimes it's hard and sometimes you're burnt out. And then halfway through this mimosa, I got an email that someone, one of my previous clients had referred me for a gig and I got the gig and it was like a massive ebook deal, like a deal that I had never gotten before. And it was huge. And I was like, it's because I drank a mimosa. I swear that is the only reason. Yes.
To me, that sounds like we just need more market research about whether or not that theory is true. I am committed to having a mimosa every day just to see if this works.
Once a week, I will sit down and have a mimosa now. But like the mimosa can be anything. Like you can use it as sort of a placeholder for like your paddleboarding or like taking a nap or deciding I'm going to watch Gilmore Girls for the rest of the afternoon until I go meet my friends for climbing at 4 because I'm fucking tired. You know what I mean? And that's okay. That's okay too.
And to me, that kind of illustrates two things of the fact that at some point it's completely out of your hands. You can do the work to get yourself set up so that you can seize any opportunity that comes your way. But at some point, the opportunity is up to somebody else. And that gets to be something that you just wash your hands of, which is incredible. So that's amazing. And then I said that illustrates too. Oh, the other point that that illustrates is that we got into business for and with ourselves so that we could build a life where we get to have mimosas on a Wednesday morning if we want. Like we rail against the Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, which at some point in my life served me very, very well. And now I'm at a point where I just go, you know, that's not the life I see for myself. So how do I build a life where I can make those choices? So it's crazy when those opportunities come up to be like 9 a.m. hits and my old reptilian brain is like, well, I should be working, when the whole reason I'm doing what I'm doing is so that I have the freedom to not feel that way. And that's still something I'm deprogramming myself from. So it's extra nice that the universe seems to be rewarding those moments of actually living the life I tell myself I want.
Yes, 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 yes. I completely agree with that. I will say, I don't want to complain forever. Not that this is complaining. Okay. I think it's more commiserating. Mm-hmm. But I do want to also ask you, like, what's your favorite part of this life that you've built yourself? You literally built the house that you live in, and you built your career. Like, you've built this life for yourself. How are you enjoying it?
I do love it. I really, really do. There are absolutely those ridiculous days where everything is so much harder than it could be. I could just be in an apartment someplace and know that I'm going to get my paycheck at the end of the week. We could be doing that. But then there are the days where I just start a conversation with somebody, and it's somebody that I never would have met otherwise, but it's because I chose to drive someplace and I chose to go into a museum, or I chose to go to a coffee shop that day. And you meet the people you never would have met, but it's like you've known them your entire life. And so I've been getting to sample so many different lifetimes right now, which is kind of incredible, which I think is also part of why I'm an actor. Like, when I was a kid, I didn't know what I wanted to be. One day I woke up and I wanted to be a firefighter. The next day I wanted to be a princess. The next day I woke up, I wanted to be a taco. Like, acting lets me live all these different lifetimes for at least a little bit. And so this lifestyle, voiceover wise, I get to be all sorts of different characters. But then traveling, I get to try on different towns each day too. And there are things I have yet to find a place that I didn't like somehow. So it's all been very unexpected. And I don't think this will be fun 10 years from now. So I'm doing it now. And it's really rewarding. Yeah. And I love it. Yeah.
Heck
and
yeah.
Then I met people like you.
It's not, I feel like, it's so good. I met a lot of really cool people because of van life and because of entrepreneurship. And it's such a, like, you know, you're not doing it forever. Nobody's doing that forever. And if they are, they are a special breed of human, and, like, full respect to them. But whew, that is a long life. It's a long life.
Ooh, more power to them. My driveway is open eventually.
Yes, yes. When I have one, it is open. Do you have any advice for anyone who wants to do what you're doing, whether that's build their own van / bus, or start their own business, or travel full time, or any of those things?
Ooh, that's a very good question. First piece of advice, right? First piece of advice is you can do it. Like, whatever you feel like you've got that little sparkle at the back of your brain about, like, I wonder if I could. The answer is yes, you can. It's a question of time. It's a question of resources, time being one of those things. But if it's something important to you, you can learn it. You can schedule a phone call with people who've done it, and they are so generous with the info about it. And you can do it. And part of how I proved that to myself was that I listened to as many podcasts or watched as many videos as I could, just to see the representation of thousands of other people doing it. Even if what you want to do isn't something that other people have done, so you don't have that proof that it can be done, similar things have been done. Like, it's out there. It's just, again, nice to hear that it's possible. And there are so many avenues to getting to it. I think probably
surround yourself by the people you want to be like, but also if you can't find them in real life in person, like, just use the internet. YouTube and podcasts work almost just as well.
Yeah. And the thing to keep in mind with that is they are all real people as well. Like, there are so many filters out there. Everybody's editing their life so you see the best parts of it. But for me, seeking out that many examples proved that it was people doing these things, and brought it down to an achievable thing. And then once you decide you can do it, set aside time. Just the only way that I built this bus was I told myself, Saturday is the day that I have to do this. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to put on my shoes. I'm going to go to the shop. I'm going to stare at my bus and do something. I don't know what it's going to be, mm-hmm. but, and if you set aside that time and you show up, what else are you going to do? So you do the thing. And I think that's the yes. only way I built this bus or any part of my voiceover career was looking at my calendar and going, Monday morning, I don't know what it's going to be, but we are going to do something related and see how that goes. Mm-hmm. And I'm such a creature of inertia. Like if I am at rest, I'm at rest. But if I'm in action,
yes,
I'm in action. So the trick is getting between those places. So if I show up at the gym, I'm going to do reps until my arms fall off. If I'm on my couch, I'm going to watch all of Netflix. So yeah, just show mm-hmm. up and know that the moments of not knowing are still part of the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll yeah. be there. I think yeah. it's always better to just like decide how much time you want to spend on something rather than trying to accomplish something for me. Like this is proof for me and most of my coaching clients, I will say, like, it is almost always better to just put an hour or two on your calendar than to say on Monday, I'm going to build my sink. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you might not be able to finish that on Monday. You might not know how to do that. And then you're going to feel like shit at the end of the day on Monday when it's not done. Instead, mm-hmm. you can say, I'm going to spend an hour on Monday morning and I'm going to work on my sink. And like yeah. for some people, that will not help you get it done. And for other people, that is all you need to just show up and do it. So know which kind of person you are. If you need to have a to-do list, you need a time block and whatever, do that. If all you need to do is say on Monday morning, I just need to start, do that. But like you have to get to know yourself. And that's part of being an entrepreneur and being able to like build a life like this is getting to know yourself as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because before starting this, I think I thought entirely in terms of tasks. And when you look at the like a vehicle that you're about to build, that's just a huge task. And then breaking it down into the subcategories and smaller tasks of building the sink, that can make it feel a little more bite-sized. Or all of a sudden, your list is huge. It went from one thing, accomplish, build the bus, to, oh my gosh, how am I going to do any of these things? And I'm new to this, so I have no sense of how long anything takes. So what do you do? And so for me, it was important to learn just, okay, spend an hour, go for it. But you're right, for somebody else, it might be like, oh, well, no, I need to get this task done, so I'm going to focus in on that task.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Getting to know yourself is like the hardest part of entrepreneurship and living a life that is somewhat alternative. And I mean, honestly, it's the hardest part of being an adult in general, but some people mm-hmm. never really like put in the full effort to really get to know themselves at the end of the day. And so if you are, kudos to you. It's hard, but also like you're going to have a much better experience mm-hmm. with all of these activities if you do know yourself, because it'll be yeah. easier to get yourself to do what you want it to do.
Yeah, because also like that's been kind of a cool thing about building a bus at the same time I was building my business, is if I didn't know myself well enough, I wouldn't be able to make any decisions about building the bus. I know mm-hmm. I know myself well enough to know I didn't want to convert my seating area into a bed every single night. So that made decisions yes. about what the layout of the bus was going to be. So if you don't know yourself, you're going to build a bad bus. Or if you don't know yourself, yeah, you're going to build somebody else's business. You know, like if you're just trying yes. to pursue something that isn't you, it's always going to be a weird fit. And that's just another obstacle to get over before you can get to the real fun and the real work.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, this was amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you, before we wrap up, tell people where they can find you on the internet?
Absolutely. I'm all over the place. For voiceover, you can go to racheldelaplane.com. But for my voice, for my life on the road adventuring, I have a blog website called Voice Das. For my world adventuring things, I have a blog website called voice-adventures.com. And that's also my TikTok handle. So at Voice Adventures. Instagram, I'm at the Rosebud Motel. Or at, for Instagram, I'm at Rosebud Motel. I'm hoping this will all be in show notes and everything. Basically, if you go to
it will
either my Instagram or my TikTok, there's a link tree you can get to absolutely everything. I'm all over the place. And if you wait long enough, I might be in a neighborhood near you. So, yeah, if you can't find me online, I'm probably coming through your town. Who knows?
This was delightful. Thank you so much for doing this with me.
Thank you. Like, I just adore you so much. And I was so excited to talk to you all day. So, yay. Thank you for having me. And thank you to everybody who's listening. Yay.
I hope you had a few good laughs during my interview with Rachel Delaplane. And if you want even more laughs, head over to her TikTok. It's Voice Adventures on TikTok. And you can find everything else about her through the link in her bio. Rachel is so freaking funny. You have to go follow her, I swear. I always appreciate an honest conversation about van life because I feel like I was a little disillusioned when I went into it. So hopefully you got something out of this conversation as much as I did. Before I let you go, I just wanted to let you know that I am accepting new one-on-one coaching clients. So if you're looking for one-on-one coaching as a freelance business owner, I'm here to help. If you need help getting clients, setting up your business for launch, or increasing your income, changing your niche, any of the above, I'm sincerely here to help. And if you're not sure if it's right for you, there's a link in the description of this podcast episode to schedule a free mini session to see if we're the right fit for each other. I hope to see you in there. And if not, you can find all of our free resources as usual in the description of this podcast episode. I'll see you around the Meltzer Seltzerverse. Bye. This podcast was created by Rachel Meltzer and edited by Matthew Usherwood.
The music is by Ketza from the Free Music Archive.
You can find more information in the show notes below. P.S. Did you know that I offer coaching for freelance writers? You can find more information on store.meltzerseltzer.com. That's store.meltzerseltzer.com. MELTZERSELTZER.com.